Welcome to episode 139 of the Better With Running podcast. My name is Chris Armstrong and another big show tonight. But before we get into all of the details of that, I'm joined by, well, my co-host, as always, Zachy Newman. How are you, mate?
Going well, Chris-o. Yes, excited, mate. We've got a big show lined up. And
we do.
We've even managed to, dip into the well, mate, and find the money to get a big guest or a big co-host. We've pulled out all strings to get this guy to spend some time with us on this episode. So it's pretty exciting to have a co-host joining us tonight, Chris-o.
Yeah, we thought the show was that big that two hosts probably wasn't enough to get the job done. So we've brought in a third, probably a voice that some listeners will definitely be familiar with. But Do you want to, I guess he doesn't really need an introduction. He's pretty well known, but
he is well known. And look, I've spent, I reckon it was just saying off air, I was probably spoke to him for about an hour ago on a run. And I tend to spend a lot of time with this guy. And he is mentioned on the podcast. He is the famous or infamous Kiwi Steve, and or otherwise known as is he Dr. Stephen Langdon or Professor Steve? I think on a recent flight he was put on his ticket as Professor Steve. He was happy to show me that on a Facebook message. But for those who don't know Steve, he has PBs of, I'm just bringing this up on World Athletics, so 14:39. I reckon that was 2022. He has that over 5k. He's an 8:26 guy over 3k. It's a 4x400 meter relay showing up here, so I'll be interested to know a bit more about that one because that was in March. But yeah, Steve's he's a jack of all trades, and he's also joined us previously on the podcast to talk about the mental side of running. We're going to dig into that a little bit later. But thanks for jumping on, Steve, and give me a bit of your time.
You're most welcome. Thank you for having me, Zach and Chris. Excited to be here.
Not only an amazing runner and very intelligent human, but also a connoisseur of fine ice cream too.
Oh, yeah. Forgot about
that's
that.
That's what we've got to talk about tonight.
Mate, and we thought it'd be a good opportunity because we're all lining up at Gels Park this weekend to, kick off the season in Victoria, the XCR season. We've got relays and we thought, we're obviously going to chat a little bit later about race week and race nerves. And we've got a number of athletes doing London. We've got Gold Coast planning, a lot of road racing coming up. So I thought it was a good time to get you on a little bit later. We'll go into that. But maybe to kick us on, but off, mate, it'd be good to chat about your training, what you've been up to.
Yeah. Training's been a little bit up and down recently. I had a really good track season, ran PBs from sort of 15 through to 5K, which was fantastic. And then I decided to stretch my season out. I got a little bit greedy, so I sort of did a couple of weeks of jogging and then tried to race the last miler's meet, doing the 1500. And my calf said no at about the 1100 meter mark. Kind of resulted in me limping on home, which is a bit frustrating. And I had to take a week off after that. So a week of no running. And then I sort of gradually got back into it over the last 3 weeks. Started off with some small jogs. And then probably contrary to what both of you would tell your athletes, I kind of ramped up to pretty much full training within the space of 3 weeks. probably the whole like do as I say not as I do kind of thing, but I was aware that, like, there's the XCR racing coming up in Gels Park. I'm a big fan of a relay, so I wanted to try and sort of get in somewhat kind of okay shape for that. What sort of helped is I took a week off, and then my calf, I strained my soleus. And after a week, it was totally fine. I had no pain walking or running. So it's been a pretty smooth sort of return to running. I got convinced by my physio and my coach that I should probably go back to the gym a little bit more. I've been pretty slack with that pretty much since I moved to Australia. So over the last 18 months. So sort of getting on top of the sort of rehab work in the gym, a little bit of strength work to hopefully stop things like this happening again. Training's been going well. I tried something a little bit silly last week, decided it wasn't much fun, and I hopefully won't be doing that again. I did. My coach set me three threshold sessions in a row, so Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And by the time I got to my third one, like the body was all right, but just mentally, I found it tricky getting up for three sessions in a row. That's kind of a rundown of where I'm at, and I'll find out how fit I am sometime after 12:30 on Saturday, racing for Melbourne Uni at Jones Park.
Nice. Yeah, well, look, usually, me, Chriso, we often go through our sessions of the week. It'd be interesting to know what you've been up to in this week leading into the race. Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday. So do you want to take us through maybe what you did, the last few sessions you've done?
So my week leading into this race, and probably most races, is normally pretty similar. I do a lot of jogging, and I'll do a session sort of 4 or 5 days out. So sort of Monday I did about 65 minutes easy. Tuesday I did 30 minutes easy in the morning, and then a session in the afternoon, which all up was about 65-70 minutes. So I did 1600 meters followed by 4 200s. The 1600 was at about 5:05 for the 1600, which is about 76 second laps, which when I'm fit should hopefully be somewhere around my threshold. Might be a little bit ambitious at the moment. And then just followed that up with some 200s off a 200 meter jog, and they were all in 32 seconds. And then Wednesday, which is today, 30 minutes this morning, and then 70 minutes this evening, both easy. And then tomorrow will be something similar, sort of 30 in the morning, 45 to 60 in the evening, and then maybe 45 minutes on Friday, and then the race on Saturday. And I'll try to get about 65 minutes of running in between the 6-point-something K leg and then the warm-up and the warm-down. And if the race wasn't middle of the day, I'd probably go for a morning jog beforehand, but I won't be doing that because I don't want to have to wake up that early on race day. And then just the usual long run on Sunday, provided the body feels all right post-race. This cross-country always makes things interesting, so not quite knowing how my body's going to feel after that, because I don't, I guess, longer than I would usually race. So just waiting to see what happens there, which I feel like it's a pretty boring week leading into a race, like a lot of jogging and one session on the Tuesday night.
Have you run at Gels before, Stape?
Yes, I ran last year.
Yep, very nice.
It was my first ever XCR race. And I managed to time it, so I was on the last leg and it was raining quite a lot. It was lovely. Zach was on the same leg as me.
There's some very good photos or choice photos going around of Steve's lack of excitement for the event after the race. Just lying down and just very sad. It was quite, yeah. I'm really hopeful it's not better conditions than that.
I've already said to the guys from our club, I don't really want to run the last leg, but thankfully one of the other boys has volunteered to run last. So that's nice. So hopefully it's raining for him, so he can experience the utter joy that I had to experience last year. What about you guys? Like, what's your sort of race week look like?
Before we go there, mate, I want to interrogate you with your Strava. I know you don't put up all your details. Everything's just afternoon run, morning run, yada yada. But so take us back April, it's got you at a week of the 10th, or sorry, week of the 3rd, 119K with 1,000 meters elevation. But then there was 2 weeks of nothing on there. Was that with the Soleus, or did you just go dark? Like, did you, were you injured and you were jogging? Like, or have you gone from 0 to 119K?
I didn't go from 0 to 119K. I'm just bringing up my Strava to see what I was doing.
Because what is your relationship with Strava? Like, do you have things where you're like, I don't mind going dark for a bit because it's kind of nice to not have that showing when you're injured or a bit flat?
No, I'm pretty slack with the Strava upload side of things. So just like if I remember type thing, I'll share my run.
Okay.
So I don't, I don't sync for the day or the couple of days, I tend to keep it hidden. And I tend to not share runs I do in work time. I'm a big fan of the mid-morning jog.
Yeah.
My sort of 30-minute easy run will normally be around 10, 10:30. If my boss ever listens to this, I start earlier to make it work out. It's fine.
Okay. So maybe there wasn't just 2 weeks of nothing in there.
No, it does. So what I'm looking at, it's not the best progression. There's obviously I see a little bit more on my Strava log. So the week I hurt my soleus, it was pretty close to zero. I did maybe. You know, sort of like on a Thursday. So from like Thursday to Thursday, I did no running. So that kind of straddles 2 weeks. So I went from, it looks like 14K 1 week, like 90K 1 week, and then like 120 the next. Yeah. as I said earlier, probably not the ideal progression returning from injury.
Well, does that come back to if you are ever on Steve's LinkedIn, there is a lot of accolades and bunch of achievements, including a peer-reviewed academic journal article that was published based on your thesis of rehabilitation, engagement, and adherence changes in injured athletes. Talking about appraisal, coping, optimism. Tell us about that thesis. And is this line up with what you've done there?
Well, it wasn't, in my defense, it wasn't like a return to activity kind of article. It wasn't like a, 12 steps to be able to do your sport again. So that was based on my master's research. So I did a master's in sports psychology. And it was looking at injured athletes, their rehabilitation, adherence, and engagement across a 12-week time period. And sort of looking at the interaction between those two. And sort of what I found was once an athlete got injured, if you manage to get them highly engaged at the start of their rehabilitation process, their adherence jumped up quite high, quite quickly. And then over time, as it dropped, the drop wasn't as severe as if they weren't really engaged at the start, which is common sense. I spent a year to work that one out. So it's sort of like, you get someone like highly engaged with their rehab from the get-go, and then the adherence over time is better, which would then give them sort of better return to sport outcomes. And I guess most people would be more engaged at the start of their rehab process because it's new. Something's gone wrong. You're pretty motivated to try and get on top of whatever the injury is. And I guess the sort of the key takeaway for practitioners based on my research was for them to think about ways that they could help foster that high level of engagement early on in their rehabilitation sort of journey with their client. So whether that was like tailoring the style of treatment or how they interacted with their clients or patients, or whether they needed to do some kind of semi-formal or semi-regular check and process to make sure that they sort of help the athlete kind of get engaged quickly so that they then would do what they needed to do to get healthy again. That was the gist of it. Did some cool stats on that one. Made some pretty graphs. looked at trends.
So, mate,
not what I did. I was bad. I did lots of, I was on top of my rehab, but the other stuff was not ideal.
Hey, Chris has got a question for you.
Not just a question, but we've got lots of little questions for you. So,
yes, we do. We are going to spring this on you. Yeah.
Yeah. So, this is probably a bit of a surprise, and it's probably the way we like it, to be honest. These are just real rapid fire stuff. So you can just use, they can be one word answers, but we'll give you a bit of a license if you want to elaborate as well. But we'll kick you off, mate. So watches, Garmin or Chorus?
Garmin.
Garmin, yep. Phones, iPhone or Android?
iPhone.
Yeah, good choice. Shorts, half tights or splitties?
Both. Big fan of both.
Yep. Preference though?
At the same time or?
never wear shorts over half tights. If you're gonna wear half tights, embrace them. Half tights. Splitties for racing. Probably half tights for training.
Yep. Very good. Favorite running sock.
Ooh. My most favorite running sock got discontinued. Apparently on the hunt for my new, you know, preferred racing sock. I've got some Steigens on the go, got a couple of different pairs of Nikes, and I just got my hands on the Ernie Old running sock, which I'm enjoying. That'll probably be my go-to for Saturday.
Steve is the Steve's in discussions as becoming the Ernie Old poster boy. He's been very diligent at turning up to a lot of Ernie Old events.
I think Andy might have him covered there, but there's always room for a bit of an international flavour. So I'm sure I'll be very interested, especially you might be able to put in a word for him, mate, after your modelling that you did for them as well.
I'll try my best. I'll work a miracle. Hey, Steve, you're a former cyclist, yeah, or triathlete, I might have to confess. And socks must have been a big part of cycling. Is what's your view on like sock height and running? Is there something that we're doing wrong there?
Sock height, always mid to high. None of us below the ankle carry on. No one wants to see an ankle.
Yeah. There you go. Chris, you're across that, aren't you?
Yeah, no, I'm across that. I'm a big fan of the sort of mid-high sock. Yeah, ankle socks for Pilates for me, mate. And then running, it's, so that mid-calf. I think it's just my opinion. I just think it's cool. Now, track, road or trails?
In terms of racing or running on?
No, mate, that's okay. I only ask the questions here, mate. You just give the answers.
Okay. I like track racing. That's my favorite. Yeah. In terms of places to run, all my favorite, or like sort of, things to run on. All my favorite runs are trail.
Favorite shoes?
Nike Skylons, which were discontinued a very long time ago, and I had a supply of them. And over time, yeah, they all gradually died. But since then, big fan of Nike Pegasus for my daily trainer. Dragonflies for racing and Alpha Flies for road racing.
Do you have a favorite set of pegs, like a certain issue? Because I think they're up to 40 now.
Yeah, so I really like the 37s. Okay. I like the thin tongue.
Yep.
I have three pairs hiding in my wardrobe at the moment.
Nah, I like that. Now, singlets, mate. Topic of conversation, especially with Liam last week, but singlets on or off?
Oh, that's contentious. You have to race in them. If you take them off on the track, people look at you real weird.
That's a great answer, actually. Morning or evening runs?
Early afternoon and mid morning. That's the time.
So on private.
Yeah. And then no one knows.
Yeah.
If you had to eat one meal for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Macaroni cheese.
Oh,
easy peasy.
I like the cheese. Love the quick response to that one. As a man who loves his mac and cheese.
Yeah, uni student is still that.
What? No. 2 minute. If I was a uni student, it should be like two minute noodles or something. I mean, like, make it yourself. Not this packet mac and cheese.
We usually have an off-topic conversation about something, and I think this week we should make it mac and cheese. So what's your mac and cheese go-to, mate? What makes a good bowl of mac and cheese? How do you do it?
I'll say cheese. That helps. bacon and then adding in tomatoes at the end and just the right pasta.
Yeah. What pasta? You go on spirals or?
Yeah, so this is something that we're sort of working through at my house at the moment. Mm. I'm a big fan of the smaller kind of little spirally, like half semicircle almost kind of pasta, like what you'd get when you get mac and cheese if you went to like a pub or something. But since someone that I live with is more of a fan of the seashell.
Okay.
Like the largest seashell. And so we're trying to work through that difference and it's proving a bit tricky.
You know, these things come along to test us as people. So, no, that's understandable. Probably one request from us as a podcast, because last week, so Liam, his answer was muesli. And he makes his own muesli. So magnificent just conglomeration of various fruits and seeds and grains. And literally roasts it in the oven. And he posted a photo for us in his Strava. Is there a chance that you... someone who doesn't really update their run titles or anything like that, can we go out on a limb and ask, can you post a bowl of mac and cheese on one of your runs for Strava so we can get a look at it?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, and maybe even a recipe as well for those that are really keen to try a bit of Professor
He won't give you details of his session, but he'll put in a friggin' ingredients in his description.
Of course, second. Wouldn't you?
He's just giving the people what they want.
That's it.
No, I love that. Favorite Aussie or Kiwi runner and why?
Probably do and or.
Yeah.
Kiwi runner. Probably a tie between John Walker and Nick Willis. Main reasons, like the longevity of both of their careers. They were sort of at the top of the world for quite some time. And they both race distances that I like. I'm a big fan of the middle distance. And they were both fantastic runners and nice people. I've been lucky enough to meet both of them on a number of times or a number of occasions and get some runs in with Nick. And he's always got a lot of time for sort of anyone really, which is pretty cool. And John signed a copy of his autobiography that I was given. So, yeah, big fan of both of those guys. And then Australian runners, still learning a little bit about them. Not big on the Australian running history.
Here we go. You're going to lose everyone here.
I feel like given who I run with Zappa and some of the other guys, I'd probably have to say Craig Mottram, or else I'll get kicked out of the Monday, Wednesday
fan club.
Very good. Favorite running podcast?
Better With Running.
Yeah, that's the correct answer. Otherwise, I'm not sure we can put this to air. But no, I'm glad you enjoy the content we work so hard on a weekly basis. And last one, mate. So this is one of Zach's questions. I love it. I'm really keen to see what your thoughts are here. So if you could choose a training location to go and do a camp on, where would you go and which three people would you take?
Rotorua.
Yeah.
Which is sort of in the middle of the North Island of New Zealand. It's sort of got a couple. It's got a bunch of lakes, and hundreds of trails of single track in a redwood forest that are all maintained.
Is it altitude or
no? It's not at altitude. Yeah. And then it's got some sulfur trails around one of the lakes that are like perfect for workouts. Mm-hmm. And it's got a grass track. It's a really good spot to go running. You can do pretty big mileage and not have to run the same trails more than once in the week. It's where a bunch of my friends and I used to go quite a lot for running camps.
It's a bit like St. Moritz.
Yeah, without the coolness of being in Europe.
Yeah. And the $20 coffees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which three people would you take, mate? Who's going to Rotorua with you? That's what we want to know. No pressure.
This could be very contentious. Yeah,
you've got 3 weeks with them, so you want to be...
Can I say my coach? Probably my coach. That'd be helpful because I don't do anything dumb. he might not want to be with me for 3 weeks, but it'll be all right. In terms of people that I run with, it'd probably be there's a group of guys that I've been running with in New Zealand since we all sort of got involved in athletics from sort of juniors through to now. So pretty much any of those three would be sort of top of the pops, purely because it's something we've done together and there's a lot. And we've got a bunch of kind of traditions and routines that we do when we go to Rotorua. We used to have like a little trophy for bowling and another trophy for pitch and putt.
Nice.
Some of those guys from those trips. One of those guys is also in Melbourne now. So potentially him. But I'm not that funny. I'm sorry, not that fussy. Anyone that's got good chat, and I'd be a happy camper. The ability to just talk nonsense whilst running and not run out of silly things to say.
There's also a certain person that is based in Canberra that you haven't mentioned who's a big listener to the of the show.
That is true. She doesn't really like running with me though, so that might be a bit tricky on a training camp.
Okay, we'll let you off the hook there. Nice, mate. You got through that with flying colours.
I'm glad. I didn't realize it was a test, but thank you.
Chriso, your training week, mate. What's been happening? Race week?
Yep. It's probably just a good, honest week last week for me. 71 Ks for the week. Just the one session as per normal. So did 3x2.5 Ks with a 2-minute standing recovery. And it was a bit more of a progression, I guess a broken progression run. So first set was sort of around 3:44, second at 3:35, and the last one at 3:26s. And it was the first session that I've done in a brand new set of Alpha Flies. So first time I've run in a pair of these shoes. I'd sort of held pretty firm with my Endorphin Pros and was really enjoying them, but decided I'd take the plunge and I was pretty happy with them.
So you've never been in a set of 4%? The Nike super shoes?
No, I had a set of 4% and it felt like every time I put them on, I'd get sort of bad hamstring tightness, which I think had more to do with my lack of strength work or putting them on too close after a race. But I blamed the shoes and sold them for $80 to Jack Davies. So it was either that or I threw them in the bin, but it's amazing when you advertise something that's actually only had 25 kilometers run on them for a stupid price and how quickly people want to take them off you. I finally got brave enough to take the plunge and buy another pair of Nike super shoes. And it was really, I certainly didn't buy them thinking they were going to be shit because that would just be stupid. But I was really happy with them. I just found they're the sort of shoe for me. I found I got better in them the faster I tried to run. They felt okay in that first rep. I wasn't blown away by them in that first rep running sort of 3:44s. But as soon as I sort of lifted the work rate a little bit and into those 35s and 26s, I was like, oh, I could see what the fuss is about with these. Like for me, I know they're sort of, I guess to me, I felt like they've always been marketed as a marathon shoe. And I guess, yeah, they probably are for someone like our friend Elliot, who just ran Boston. Yeah, friend of the show, Elliot Kipchoge, but big fan, listens all the time. But for me, I suppose because when I'm a bit tired and I get a bit lazy, I just tend to smack my heel into the ground first off, and the Alpha Flies just didn't, I just don't think you'd quite get the value out of them. But if you're landing sort of midfoot on that AirPod, happy days. It's like Christmas with every step. Geez, it's good. But I was just that second and third rep, it didn't feel like I had to work as hard for how I'd normally have to work to hit those paces. So I'm really looking forward to taking them into a race at some stage on the road for a 10 or a 5 or maybe even the 15 at Ballarat. But and just sort of seeing how they go. But yeah, it was really happy. Those paces, particularly in that sort of last set, I haven't hit anything like that since the track race at Bendigo in early Feb. So it was a big confidence booster. I don't want to say it was the shoes. I'd like to think that I had something to do with it, but I think at those faster paces, it definitely gave me a good sort of 2 or 3 seconds at least, I reckon.
I've found with the Alpha Flies that, the longer sessions and the back end of sessions is where I've found the most beneficial in terms of just like when you're a little bit tired, I've been able to sort of just feel like I can get a bit of response back. And it's awesome when you can get at the back end and it's not the shoes like doing everything for you, but I just feel like you're just more stable and you just get a bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, just felt a bit softer, but a bit bouncier than my Endorphin Pros. They feel like they're a beautiful shoe, and they're probably more of a stiff shoe with a rocker. Whereas I really felt more sort of bounce from that the AirPods in the middle of the shoe. But they're tucked away now, and they'll come out again at Albert Park in early May. Yeah, so looking forward to that. Other than the session, we went and did, so myself and Anna, we went and did our long run on Saturday, 22Ks, 12K easy, and it's sort of like a 6K progressive kick, and then sort of 4K easy to finish that off. And the kick was sort of broken up into sort of 3K at 4:30s, then a K float, 2 at 4:20s, and then another float, and then one sort of at around 4:10 before a couple of easy K to finish that off. And I think we both looked at each other when that was all done and just sort of sighed, and we're pretty happy it was over. It was a bit harder than I'd envisaged when I wrote that session for Anna, and off the back of Thursday as well. I wouldn't say a struggle, but it was definitely keen for a drink and a walk when it was all done. So look, 71Ks for the week, body's feeling good. Had a treatment on the legs today, and very much looking forward to gels and having a tackle at this 6K distance again. I think last year I was very much welcome to the large group of people who get out too hard at gels. Certainly got to experience that and didn't realise until I'd run up the first hill to complete the first lap that I'd made an absolute mess of it. So very keen to redeem myself this week on the weekend and put a few learnings into practice without needing to learn the hard way this time.
Got some socks picked out, mate. I saw people were requesting the details of those socks, mate. So you've a few fans there, mate.
It's funny. I had someone slide into my Strava and add me as a friend. Or, I'm not, how do they add you? I don't know. It's not a friend. It's not follower, Facebook. Yeah, a follower or something. Specifically to give me some, let's call it feedback, that I didn't mention the sock brand or place where you can buy these socks last week. And that was on purpose because I know I'm not getting an endorsement deal. I love their stuff, but let's be honest, I'm a hack runner. I love it. I love what I do, but no one's paying a 40-year-old that runs 70Ks a week and sort of runs mid-70s for 5K. Like, No one cares. I have 200 followers on Instagram. They do not give a shit what socks I wear. No, literally no one gives a stuff. And the only reason I post photos on Strava is one, because I think they look cool. And me and Anna have the same socks and we think it's a bit funny just to take the piss out of ourselves and pretend to be social influencers when literally between us, outside of our, I wouldn't even say our family. I don't think my family even care. But I've got some friends and athletes that I coach that think it's a little bit humorous. So
I thought this week you were going to plug trampolines or
something. Mate, for those of you looking for a nice tasty after run snack, can recommend a Cliff Bar. Just absolutely delicious. Comes in a range of flavors. If you use code Chris, you can get 10% off at the checkout at Coles. You can't. And, you know, I will never be a social influencer. I like free things, but, you know, let's just take a step back into reality for a second. Yeah. They're not coming to me. And that's fine. I'm happy with that. I'll actually enjoy paying for stuff that I genuinely like, because I think it's cool. Like, it's like, here's a brand or something that I enjoy, and it just feels wrong to take free stuff from them because they spend money making it, so I should have to pay for it. That's kind of how life works.
And the amount of effort it would go into having to get the right photos and do all the rest of it, do the posts and put the hashtags in.
So. Well, that's it. You know, and let's be honest, a lot of the people who do those influencer things, they're not taking the photos themselves. They have to rope other people into it. And I bet you they're like, I'm sick of this shit. Like, seriously, like, get a life. What are we doing here? Yeah, well, mate, those goody-goody gumdrops ice creams, they're not going to just pop into the freezer themselves. We've got to pay the bills somehow. So, no, it's yeah. So I wouldn't say taken aback. I found it interesting that by not mentioning what type of socks I have, that I would upset potentially someone, and they just almost demanded to know what they were. So yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, I think it's just the way that the world works now with with podcasts and influencers and
yeah. I'm not a celebrity. Literally. You just listen to my week. It's not impressive. I'm running, and for full clarification, I'm running at Gels, and for Bendigo, but I'm literally running in the over 40s team. Like, I'm not into.
Hey, nothing wrong with that, mate.
No, nothing. absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I think that really says where I'm at as a runner. I'm not like, it was either the over 40s or Division 6, and I got picked in the over 40s. So, that's kind of my level.
What leg you got?
Well, breaking news for literally no one that cares, but I'm team captain for the over 40s this week, by default, because I think I'm the only person in our group that ran last year. So I think they're relying on that experience to organize the two other people in my team. And I'm going to ask if they're all right with me running first off. So I was hoping that Zachy, you might be able to have a chat to the uni crew and maybe lead off, because that might be.
You're calling me out here. Head to head.
Jeez. And then we can sort of throw down and say, look, you know, we had the same conditions and you only beat me by at least 90 seconds.
Mate, Zachary off that session, is responsible. He is the team selector.
Off that session, I am, mate, I was going to dodge you and, go out and, like, I don't know, number 5 or 6.
But
wait for the perfect conditions.
If you're running in Division 2, you're going to get a head start on me anyway. So yeah. I figured I could at least have something to chase, but
might be that far difference.
Yeah,
I don't really want to go off of the D2 guys, so I'll just wait there and then we'll.
Can you want to just filter back to my start group, which I think is about 6 minutes after you start?
No, that'd be cool, mate. I reckon, I'm happy to take you on in that challenge.
Because I think, you know, if we're being realistic, cross country is probably the only thing that I might be able to get close to you on, because as soon as we go to the roads, I know you're going to kick my ass. So.
The
cross country stuff's probably where I feel I'm a bit closer.
But you're a lot more nimble than me with your Pilates and just
my love of drills. My love of drills and parkour.
Well, you've seen me trying to do a weight or getting out of a chair. So picture me trying to get around some of these corners at gels and coming down hills when I really can't put a lot of weight through the legs or through the knee. So, yeah, I reckon it'll be even, mate. I reckon it'll be a good one.
Especially conditions are looking pretty good for Saturday too, I believe, at a top of 18 and minimal breeze. So I know you are a bit more seasoned at running at that time of day, sort of a bit later in the afternoon, after a good sleep. So whereas for me, I'm someone who has lunch at 11:30. So yeah, it's going to be a bit out of my comfort zone, that sort of 12:30, 1 o'clock start. But either way, it'll be good. The thing I love about cross country is actually the atmosphere and seeing all the teams and getting to experience that. So yeah, and if it does line up that we do get to actually go toe to toe, then that'll be pretty cool. Otherwise, I'll run my leg and I'll be trying to support Nora as best as I can, and then I'll probably be running around cheering you on, which I know you find a little bit odd, but that's just me. That's actually me in a nutshell.
I think even if you're on different legs, not head to head, you can still compare times. It's the same course. You could probably make it meaningful, put something on the line. Based off times. Socks on the line.
Mate, those socks are expensive. I don't know if I can afford something like that. But I think we could probably have a think and come up with a head-to-head wager. But for full clarification, Zachary is undefeated in our head-to-head battles at AV. The closest I came was at Bendigo last year, where he did let me get passed in for about 800 metres at Bendigo. But
raced the whole season. I think I only did one or two cross countries, and then I think you win by default. You put me out of action for the rest of the season after that one.
I remember a day at Bundoora where you were volunteering and I was running, yet there was almost no difference between the pace we were moving. I was not moving well that day, so I think I probably did a number on myself throughout the season. But no, I think you've been knocking together 100K weeks, and I'm feeling the best I have since before the marathon last year. So probably say this is the best either of us have felt all year. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it shakes out, particularly, and I know you haven't mentioned it yet, but you had a pretty solid hit out at Parkrun on Saturday just gone, and it looked good.
It was fun to toe the line again. Like, obviously you've been trying to the last 4 weeks up the mileage, up just, I guess, putting in the strength work to try and get this knee a bit stronger, and then even like adding in the extra, like another session. So I've been able to kind of put together a couple of weeks where I've had two sessions and then into the park run. And I think it was a good test to, obviously it was a Melbourne Uni, I guess we'll call it selection trial.
The official selection trial,
I should say. It was we try to do it. Well, actually, we named it season launch, so we try to get everyone together just to get a bit of a sense for where people are at, but more so just to bring everyone together and get some vibes going for the week ahead. And it was kind of cool because Jerry, who is a Run to BB athlete, who's coached by Isaac, he was start line, he said, I'm going to try and run 17 low. So I said, perfect, man. I think I'm in about 17 minute shape. We'll go out at sort of 3:25s and work together at the start. And I think it was trying to look back at when that previous, obviously I had the park run was the last park run I did was the 28th of January. I was out at Albert Park, 17:15.
Yep.
And I went out in like 3:18, whereas this one I was out in 3:20, and it felt way more comfortable. And looking back at comparing the splits, I ended up running 17:05. And my last 2K was 3:22, 3:26, whereas at Albert Park it was 3:38, 3:32. So it was much more fun just coming home feeling like I was working, but I wasn't absolutely, you know, caught out, like, you know, where you really just want to cry in a heap. Like, I actually got to the finish. Yeah, I was groaning and grunting, but I was working like a lot better than that Albert Park. So that was a big positive. And yeah, just putting myself back out there. And I needed to do that before Gels, because I know that once you're off the line at Gels, you have to be on. And it's kind of nice to get back into that and do that.
I was there as the official Melbourne Uni support person, cheer squad. And
very Zach, good at cheering.
Zach was looking pretty smooth over the last couple of Ks, which was good to see. Looked like it was nicely controlled. You know, just exciting for the Saturday. We'll see how it goes.
This is good to hear, actually, Steve, because I think it's good to have you know, another view on how things went. Do you reckon he had a bit of time up his sleeve? Like, there was a few seconds left in the legs where he could have gone sub 17 and sort of pushed into the 16s, and just, or was it, you know, he did put it all on the line? What are your thoughts, mate, being the man on the ground there?
Zach will probably disagree with me, but based off how he was looking when he finished and how he was sort of breathing and talking once he finished, I think he ran pretty controlled. Like, there was the potential that he could have probably gone a little bit faster, but that might not have been quite what he was after, maybe out of the park run. But yeah, he looked good the whole way around. So you sort of suggest, based off what myself and the other person that was I was jogging with, we thought he'd had a little bit of room to go a bit faster the next time.
Oh, that's good news, Zaka. Did you hear that?
I'm happy to take, like, he's being generous there, but yeah, Al was jogging, like Al said, like, try to get to 3K and push. And I did, so I went 3:26 into 3:22. Like, it was, I pushed, but yeah, I just probably found like I hit my ceiling of being able to really get the turnover in that last K. I think, you know, in a different set, and also for me, I guess I do my sessions at night and I do like to be a bit more warmed up. And I felt like still at 8 o'clock start for me is a bit of a, yes, you know, not an excuse, but I did felt pretty junk in the warm up. Like, I was running 5:20s or something in a warm up, and I just felt, you know, getting switched on, I think, for me is something, yeah, I've probably got to practice again and really dial in. And I think maybe that park run setup doesn't lend itself to it all the time.
Do you have any caffeine or anything like that before an early morning run, mate, just to sort of get the body up? Yep.
Yeah, have a coffee. I had a no-dozer for this one, so
yep.
I had to get myself up and going.
That's all right. And so I suppose then it's good keeping in mind that, I suppose, with the 10K at Albert Park, I believe that's a 9 o'clock start. So good to get an early morning hit out.
Oh, look, I've got to get, marathons are at 6 o'clock, you know, so like races are generally in the morning. So I think that's, as you get fitter, and I think that those sort of things don't come into play as much. And in reflection, like, yes, I was, I think I was probably, I reckon it was probably an 8 out of 10, you know, when I look back at it and go, yeah, it's about where I'm at. Because I think I look at it and go, well, I've only pulled together 100K a week. The rest has sort of been 80 to 100 or 80 to 90, the 3 or 4 weeks of it. But I've only just started to do the two sessions. And I think with improvement on the knee, which is, it's just small, you know, making small improvements week on week, there's some little things that I can do. And if I can get another 8 weeks of that, you know, there's got to be 20 to 30 seconds in there just off adding in two sessions, because you kind of hit a ceiling. You're like, if I look at, you know, one session a week, it's just probably not enough if you're doing 80, 90K and trying to get it under 17 minutes. Like, I think it's a bit of a ceiling there. I don't know if you guys would agree.
I'm a big fan of the one session a week followed by some jogging in a long run.
Yeah. But you're doing big mileage. You're out, like, your long run's 2 hours. You're up, you know, you're doubling in there as well.
Yeah, I'm sitting at about 120 Ks a week. It's sort of my sort of sweet spot. And yeah, doubles and like a 2 hour long run in a session where I still sort of cover ideally somewhere between like 15 and 20 Ks by the time I've warmed up and warmed down. But I would say my main comment is around the race times. Just come race on the track, then you race in the evenings, no early mornings.
That's a good point. That is a good point. But it's winter and XCR's on the horizon.
That's not helpful.
Yeah. No, but overall, motivated and, ready to just, get into this gels and then another strong couple of weeks, Albert Park. Like, racing just brings you so much forward. Like, I haven't felt in the workout. I think I did a workout last night of, 3 by 6 minutes, and I felt much better than I have for, 2 or 3 weeks when I look back at Tuesday workout. So I think, that race just, and it gives you a bit of confidence that things are clicking, and you just got to keep going forward. And it's a patient game, really. Like, you've got to just keep stacking the weeks together. And, it's all well and good to do one 100K week with two sessions, but 6 or 8 of them is even better.
No, that's it, mate. It's good to hear you moving well again. And I reckon that it sounds like the pain levels are down in that knee too.
Yeah, it is. It is definitely getting further down. I think even the jogs are coming out a little bit smoother. So just keep persevering with it, mate.
No, that's it. I mean, Saturday's going to be good fun. It'll be good to see how we both go and then have a bit of a catch up there. That'll be good. And then, we'll be back next week to hopefully share some good news.
I did the long run Sunday. It was hammering down with rain for a bit of it all beforehand. I think it rained partway through it, did it, Steve? Can't remember now. It's a bit of a blur. Yeah, it was pretty ugly out there, but got back and there was a lot of results coming through from the Run to BB community. Obviously, Canberra Marathon was going down. There was Newcastle. There was, a bunch of around the grounds. Chris O, did you see those results come through?
Oh, mate, it was the final surge notifications were just popping off. I got that many notifications from final surge. My phone asked me if I wanted to block it. There were that many coming through, but geez, it's good to see. I love this time of year where there's races everywhere. And we'll talk about some overseas ones in a sec, but it's pretty cool. Just all the results, a stack of PBs from people who've been, putting months and months and months of training. They've done all the hard work over summer and you name it. There were impressive results across all the distances. Whether they were road, there was a few interesting ones on the track as well.
24-hour track on
24-hour track race.
That is more than interesting.
That's a word.
Wow. Yeah. Sarah Jayamara, who a big shout out, who's been on the podcast for, covered 182.9. I want to rob one of those 900 meters PB.
Mate, that's about,
I think it's the first time, but two and a half weeks as well.
Yeah. Oh, it's incredible. Like, that's about 2.5 weeks worth of volume for me. And she's done it in a 24-hour window. Like, she's just phenomenal. Previous winner at Great Ocean Road and the ultra marathon there, and just I think she's enjoys more of that sort of thing on the track than a hard 5 or a hard 10k on the track. So I know if we had a choice, I could probably speak for all three of us and say that we would much prefer a hard 5K on the track as opposed to a 24-hour ultra. Am I wrong? Am I wrong there? Or
completely right.
Yeah. But no, it's a phenomenal effort. But no, there was a stack of good results there, mate. It's
even
cool.
Over in New Zealand, there was a Christchurch marathon result from Rotterdam, Manchester, Baronia half marathon in USA. I think that's in Washington County. So a bunch of results. It's all on our Instagram. So we'll just, we'll be here all night if we go through every single result. So you can jump on and We've screenshotted and clipped some of the Strava of athletes that have posted and their times up there. Actually, one of our coaches went around, debuted in a first marathon at Newcastle, Madeline Heiner. And, 3 hours and 1 minute. And got a message from Mads probably an hour after a race. She won't mind me reading this out. 3 hours and one effing minute. And then the laughing emoji. Felt amazing till it didn't. Had to have a loo break at 25K and then got to 32K and died a sweet death until the last K when I dropped the 408. Brutal, but also fun.
Do you reckon Mads will be back for another crack at it?
Oh, you'd have to be, wouldn't you? 1 minute off that. Yeah, and she'd had an interrupted prep. Like, she built and then had holidays and work and everything else sort of been thrown at her in the last 6-8 weeks. So it wasn't the ideal prep that Mads would have hoped for. So, yeah, 3:01, yes. It's just a carrot there, isn't it?
Got to get that sub-3. And it's probably one of those ones where Mads was able to get a full block in uninterrupted. Who knows? I mean, she could be in, go sub 250 into the 240s and, might really get a taste of the marathon bug. Who knows?
And then it was Monday, mate, and it was Boston. Did you catch any of the obviously, we're going to talk about some of the Run to BB legends that went around, but how about your mate Kipchoge not getting the he was obviously a raging favourite. Bit of a leg issue at 30K.
Funny, here's a guy who we're sort of saying, didn't have the best race, finished eighth and ran 2:09. We're like, he didn't. Not one of his better runs. And no, it wasn't. I mean, it's the first time he's been out of the top two. I couldn't even tell you because I think was on a streak of about 15 or 16 consecutive marathons where he had
2020. He had a shock, like,
yeah. I was at London, he had a shocker,
2:06, shocking run,
it's terrible, terrible.
He's had since 2013 to Boston, or before, not including Boston, he'd averaged 2:03, and in there, he'd had like 4 world records in there, obviously, each time lowering it, and then course records, like 3 or 4 course records, won everything. So you're probably due for an off day.
I just wonder if this has really reignited that fire for him as well, to think that perhaps on this given day that the marathon got the best of him. I wouldn't say the course, but just the marathon had its turn to bite him a little bit. So whether he comes back next year and he's run most of the other majors, this was his first go at Boston, that whether he's got a score to settle, and Paris is next year as well, so I'm not sure how that'll work out with his plan. But I'm not privy to that information, unfortunately, but I wonder if the fire just burns to go and show Boston that I can dominate here as well.
But he was fuming post-race, so he didn't do the presser, and then he came back the next day and did it. And he said, in a quote, "developed an upper leg issue at 30K, and I told myself that I cannot quit. I do not think it's related to the raining weather or hills." And there was some speculation that he missed a bottle. We definitely did miss a bottle. And talk about old bottle guy wasn't out on the course. Bottle guy from Berlin.
I'm gonna say that. Do you reckon that was actually what it was? That could have just been the thing that tipped him over the edge. No bottle man on the bike, and here we are.
Yeah, interesting. Did you catch any of it, Steve?
Yeah, I did. I think, isn't Kipchoge trying to win all the majors? That was sort of what he'd been talking about, I think, at some point last year. So trying to tick off the whole series. So if that's the case, he'll definitely be back in Boston to give it another shot.
You'd think he'd go back and do it and have another crack.
I find it really interesting that like his performance on at Boston is classed as a sort of like not a good run. And it's still a time that most people would dream of, and it's still so far in front in terms of like race result and the position he came in the race, and like most people could even dream of. And yeah, it's just like, oh, that was a terrible run by him. So like, how high are our expectations of the guy that a race like that at Boston, you know, it's no good.
I mean, he was what did he end up running, 2:06?
Around there, I
think it was higher than that.
What about, 208, I reckon.
208 or 209, I reckon. So, yes, his PB's on a lot faster course, but he's still, like, he's 7 minutes outside his PB. So, yeah. But when you're done in the marathon, you're really, you're done. And kudos to him too. He could have stepped off, but proven that he hasn't had a, obviously doesn't want a DNF next to his name.
No, and look, Elliot may have missed a PB at Boston. And, you know, he would have absolutely loved to have gone close to breaking two at Boston there. But we had some run to PB legends go to Boston, mate, and they did get PBs.
Mate, it was, we did the profiles and we reached out to, I think it was early in the week, we reached out to coaches because we knew, obviously, with Boston coming, London coming, so we thought we sort of do something a little bit special for those. And we've got an athlete going in Nagano in Japan, so we thought it'd be a good chance to maybe just do a little bit more digging with some profiles and some info about their build-ups. And, yeah, when we had the four athletes lining up for Boston, yeah, we were super excited to see how they went. And, some big PBs went down, mate. It was, it was really, really cool to see. And yeah, Zach Round, who was a 2:55 guy leading into this and came away with a 2:51.45. So massive PB from Zach, who's based down on the peninsula. So he's Matt's Davey coach to Zach. And he was got some comments from the great man Mattress on what his thoughts were. And he said it was So Zach did the Melbourne Marathon in 2022, so he got himself in a fantastic position off the back of that block. Just need to execute, stay patient. And, he didn't panic and didn't get caught up in the crowd. And I think, you know, with an event like that, or any of those majors where there's just so many people going out, like free beer, you got to keep your head. And Zach obviously hit the hills. And, yeah, Matt was pretty happy with a lot of the hill work he'd done in preparation. Because he negative split, ran 126, 125, and yeah, massive PB for Zach. So that was really awesome to see. I think Matt shared one of his last long runs, which was 36K at 4:58 a.m. he started. So he did most of that run in the dark down in the peninsula. So yeah, it's so cool to see someone, get the reward for a lot of hard work.
Thoroughly deserved. And I think we've got some of the fun facts that came through about some of our athletes that have headed overseas. And Zach enjoys listening to either Mariah Carey or Sia's Christmas album while running. Does not matter what time of year, quite often on the playlist there. So whilst he's trotting around in God's country, as Matty calls it, and it is beautiful down there. Running along the peninsula, but we'll quite often have Mariah Carey blasting, or I'm a big Sia fan, so I can absolutely understand that. Love Sia's music, so loves his tunes, that's for sure.
Another one over there was Benji Hoppett. Interesting story with Benji. So he's based in Sydney, then recently got a gig over in India, 3 months ago to say. Over for the IPL Mumbai Indians, working in high performance cricket there. So he had to kind of obviously deal with it, new job, new environment, and then move all his training essentially onto a treadmill because being in Mumbai, it was pretty tough for him to get out, in those conditions. And with his workload. So I was looking back at some of his Strava and it was like really impressive. He was banging out long runs and sessions on the treadmill, and he did do one run back in, I reckon it was in March, and it was like first run, yeah, early March, first run outside, fail workout, supposed to be 3x5Ks, few factors running, outside's different to the treddy, heat, pollution, it's cooked, starting at dark. So, yeah, he obviously, you know, that's the real challenge in a marathon block when you have your environment change and you're used to doing, you know, knowing where he obviously runs a lot in Sydney and he's got great conditions, and then you're thrown to the to another environment. So he kept everything going and yeah, managed to still run 2:55.09. He rode on his Strava, it was an incredible event, tough to miss out the PB by 20 seconds, but on a hilly course and a difficult training block, was he'll absolutely take that. And a big thing to his coach Brady for accommodating him in a very challenging training block logistically. So yeah, massive run for Benji.
That was a great effort from Benji. And one of my good friends, Charles Jacobson, absolutely stoked with this one. So Charles headed over to Boston with a PB of 2:59. He managed to lower it down to a 2:57, coached by Andy Buchanan. And, yeah, just one of the nicest guys you'll meet in Charles. And his big reason for wanting to do Boston, so his dad actually ran the Boston Marathon in the 60s. So it's been on the bucket list for quite a while. And yeah, he's had a magnificent training block, got through the summer, ran a big PB on the track over 5K, sort of knocked that down to about sort of 17:10. And I think he'd previously only just sort of touched in under 18 minutes for his previous. So got into amazing shape, and yeah, just to be able to go over there and peel another couple of minutes was a great effort.
Coach Andy was stoked. He sent through, he's over in London preparing this week for Hamburg, but he sent through some, yeah, he was really fired up with this run. He said Boston's been on Charlie's to-do list for a while. He's, yeah, he said in his first few marathons, he sort of got carried away in the first 25K and then blown up. So they really worked on, yeah, a plan this time to pace it with a bit more conservative early and then try to bring it home, and he ended up like negative split, like a 2 minute PB. So yeah, Andy's he's up and about from that run. And he also had another athlete, Darren, who was yeah, also running over in Boston. It was his first time there, and 2:59 PB. He made in the build up, he was talking about how much he loved these 8x1K reps, which a lot of people don't get that excited for, but he was saying, look, bring on the 1K reps. It was my favorite session in the block. And also fun fact about Darren is the 21 different pairs of runners. So fair bit on the rotation there.
That's brilliant. I love that. I'd love to see a photo of that actually and just use it as evidence that I could actually have more pairs of shoes here at home. But it's brilliant run. And Andy sort of touched on in his message that once recovery is done, Darren's going to set his sights on another marathon this year. And yeah, really looking forward to seeing how he goes.
Yeah, awesome, mate. Yeah, and that's it's an exciting time with London coming up. And yeah, we're just stoked seeing these results come through.
No, it's pretty cool. And Steve, you ever thought about running a marathon, mate? Is that something that's on your bucket list?
I enjoy hearing about how other people's marathons go. For me personally, no, I don't have any desire to run one. I might run a half marathon this winter.
Yeah.
That's about as far as I'll go, I think.
Where are we thinking that might take place?
Zach is on this right now. So if I say anything apart from Burnley, I'll probably be in trouble on our next run.
Nice. There you go. There's a bit of an exclusive for
us. There's an exclusive, yeah. Steve, just off the back of those results, and we're talking marathons and I referenced London this week, and I think at the top of the show, we wanted to talk about race week, race nerves. And I guess for you and putting your sports, your background in sports psychology and what you've done in the past yourself, but also working with other athletes, what about race week and sort of practical things that you would look at in that week for athletes getting ready?
Yeah, it's an interesting kind of area that we could race, and it's pretty individual. Different things work for different people, and I think it's sort of a trial and error process to land on what works for you or what works best for you. It's just probably not what people want to hear. It's just, you'd like to know before you do your first race, like exactly what you need to do to prepare. You're sort of treading that line between wanting to do more and kind of cram things in, whether that's actual training or thinking about the race or anything else you think you may need to do to try and help your performance. And in the sort of the flip side of that is, or trying to find that balance between like pushing too much and focusing too much, but then also not completely switching off. So you're sort of finding that spot that works for you about how focused you need to be in the lead up to the race. And that's where it gets kind of like really different for different people. I know for me personally, I like to distract myself and not think about my race too much. I'm not one of those people that can think about my race sort of all day and every day in the lead up to it without that kind of stressing me out. So I guess, you know, the main thing is working out how much time and effort you can put into sort of your race prep and thinking about your race before it starts to have a detrimental effect on your preparations. Like if it starts to increase your stress levels and make you sort of extra nervous, you might want to think about changing things up a wee bit. So, and as part of that, I think it's important to think about the language that either you're using when you're talking to people about your race that's coming up, or just internally when you're thinking about your race and how you want to perform.
I guess for people who, you know, I guess in the lead up to a big race, and we all know what it's like the night before, we barely sleep and all we're doing is thinking about the next day. But what are some signs that people might be able to look out for in themselves where perhaps they are spending a bit too much time thinking about it and get a bit overstimulated? Is there some sort of things that they can use to do a bit of a self-check on that?
Yeah, I think if you're feeling sort of more stressed or nervous in the week of the race, based on the more you think about some of the more stressed you get, that's probably your first warning. Mm. That's a sign that you may want to try and distract yourself a wee bit. Other things to think about is when your thought processes start to get a little bit, or they have the potential to get kind of negative. So you're sort of thinking about your race and you know you want to do well, and then you start thinking sort of, but what if something happens either in the week leading into, you know, like what if I roll my ankle? What if I get sick? What if I have like someone else and a family member gets sick, or there's something I need to sort of react to, as well as when you're thinking about your actual performance, sort of negative and focused. So rather than thinking about, I'm going to perform well, like I've done the work, it's under my control, you start sort of focusing on the external things, you know, the weather, whether it's going to be hot, cold, windy, rainy, or you start sort of thinking like, that self-doubt can start to creep in. I haven't done the work. I could have done my key like marathon sessions sort of better. Those kinds of things. Once that doubt sort of pops in the back of your mind, that should be a bit of a signal that you want to start changing what you're thinking about or what you're focusing on, whether that's distracting yourself or just sort of talking to someone to sort of hype you up a little bit, with like touching base with your coach and getting them to kind of reaffirm that you have put the work in. You've trained well and you sort of, you know what you're doing, and to focus on the positives and the controllables rather than all the kind of doubts that'll be floating around in your head right before you try to do this super big race. And the races are important too, because you put a lot of time and effort into preparing for it. So you don't want to sort of switch to a negative focus beforehand. There's a lot of research and sort of anecdotal evidence and podcasts and think around how people's performance can be negatively impacted by sort of being overstimulated and super stressed. So you want to sort of, as you're suggesting, Chris, sort of look for signs that that's happening and sort of develop strategies to help sort of overcome that, whether that's distracting yourself or focusing on the positives or having like cue words or like a list of things that you can use to kind of motivate yourself and to help you focus on the good work that you've done.
Yeah, there's a bit around, I know in race week, looking back at your training logs for your Strava, some of the big work, because it's often in the marathon, particularly talking marathon build-ups, it goes for a while and you forget the amount of work done in these big sessions and maybe at the start of the block and the way you've built up. And I think as coaches, we're often talking to our athletes about, yeah, some of the, you know, the sessions you've done, the amount of long runs you've done and maybe just drawing on that and looking at maybe some strengths that you've developed through the block that you could kind of focus and kind of have as something to draw on. And I think it's kind of nice if you could maybe even write down the three strengths that will help you out there that you've developed through the training block. And yeah, that could be a number of, you know, from various things as to, you know, where they are. But yeah, I think that's something like that. And what about goals as well? Like, do you like to, as an open a can of worms for Steve, as you laugh there, but around that, yeah, getting fixated on the time goal versus just, yeah, I guess, you know, working through different scenarios there. And yeah, what are your thoughts there?
I'm a big believer in simple goals. As runners, it's pretty easy for us to focus on time-based goals. I think we've spoken about it before, but we always were hunting for PBs. You're comparing yourself to the best that you've ever been. And if you don't do better than that benchmark, it's really easy to think that the performance wasn't a good one. And so rather than focusing on time-based goals, I sort of prefer to think about performance-based goals and nice and simple ones that are sort of internal, so focused on entirely on yourself. So rather than basing on like a time or the people you're racing against, even though we've just spent some time talking about Chris and Zach going head-to-head at Gels, probably shouldn't use that as like motivation. Sort of goals are built around executing a good performance, so sort of doing your race plan. So rather than like focusing on hitting K splits or like you know, like halfway splits or anything like that, sort of focused around feeling strong and in control and staying positive, those kinds of things. So sort of trying to build your goals around the execution of your race plan and the actual performance, but not against the, like the time, because you can't, and especially not compared to your competitors, like you can't control what your competitors do. So if you're trying to run for a place in the race, whether it's overall or in your age bracket, you can't really control. You don't know what people's training's been like. You don't know what they're feeling on the day, how they're going to deal with the environment that they're racing in. So you should sort of focus internally on what you can control, which is so your mental state, how you approach the race, what you're thinking about. So staying, I suggest like staying positive, focusing on that. And so executing the race plan. So how you feel through the race, how comfortable, how controlled that is, those kinds of things. And I feel like just having one goal for a race can be helpful. It can sort of reduce some of the pressure on yourself. You know, if you have some kind of hierarchy of goals or you're trying to do more than one thing in the race, it can kind of distract you a little bit. Yeah. So split your focus. And that's not always that helpful. when you're trying to perform at your best. I guess
you're right, mate. I was just going to say with people's training, I suppose quite often as athletes, we can be guilty of maybe doing fitness tests in training because we want to sort of get a bit of an indication of where we're at. And sometimes we're trusting the process, but we're curious. But what are your thoughts on sort of going to the well in sessions and sort of emptying it out? Do you think that leaves us a little bit vulnerable to not sort of having that extra gear on race day? Or, you know, do you sort of see some value in it that occasionally it is good to go and absolutely destroy yourself in training?
I think there's a time and place for that. If you told me that was your approach to every session that you're running, I'd probably suggest it might not be that helpful for your longevity and your sort of injury-free performance. But that's kind of stepping a little bit away from what I know, because that's sort of getting into the more kind of physical side of things. But from a sort of a mental performance perspective, you probably don't want to be doing that week in, week out. It's really easy to do because you want to check your fitness. You want to make sure that the work you've done is paying dividends. And the easiest way to do that, right, is to push yourself in a session and try and run a PB session. But I think you want to save a little bit of that focus and sort of that mental energy for the race. So maybe in consultation with your coach, you could identify like a workout that you could use as a bit of a test to sort of give you that confidence boost so that you know you can do your marathon. But you don't want to be doing that like regularly, because it's about sort of how many times can you do that before you can start to feel a little bit burnt out. Like your body could be fine, but mentally putting that kind of pressure on yourself regularly can sort of have a negative impact. So I think it's more about from sort of the mental side of performance. It's just trusting in your process and knowing that you're putting the work in and being confident that you don't need to have that super hard benchmark kind of session all the time. So I guess that comes down to sort of trusting your program, trusting your coach, and sort of knowing that you're following the program. And then also your coach sort of being aware and being able to say that this is the time that we need to push. And not, I'm talking purely from the mental side, running is hard and committing to the program can be, like that can be quite a challenge. I mean, everyone has those days where you're not super excited to put your sneakers on and get out the door. So you probably don't want to put extra pressure on yourself. And be like, today's the day that I have to run an amazing PB session. So I guess the sort of main message is sort of being sensible with it. You can do it at times, but not all the time. And ideally not close to the race, because then you probably will have like a little bit of self-doubt at the back of your head. And like, I pushed pretty hard quite recently. Like, I don't want to feel that again, or I might not be recovered. So I don't want to push that hard now in the race. So making sure you've got not just like there's a time gap so you can sort of get your physical recovery in, but so you can also get the mental recovery in. So you can sort of get comfortable and be prepared to work that hard when you need to in the race.
Yeah, it's probably not sustainable like in a 12, 16 week block to be hitting every session, trying to, you know, empty the well, whether it's mentally more so where you really switch, like obviously you'll be switched on, but you want to be able to go up that extra gear when it counts, as opposed to becoming desensitized to it because you're doing it every three times a week. Like it's just, yeah, I personally feel like training within yourself and then knowing that you can go up a cog. And you know, the atmosphere and that everything that comes with race day just, you know, magnifies everything. So that alone can bring you forward.
Yeah. The confidence that comes from knowing you've done your sessions and you had the ability to push a little bit more if needed. That can be sort of a pretty important resource to draw on when you're racing.
Michael, Steve, it's yeah, always good to chat about that, and I think, you know, really relevant with a lot of races going on. So yeah, we appreciate you jumping on and chatting about that. Before we let you go and we wind up the show, there's a bit of world record chat that came across your desk, Chriso.
Mace, this takes me back actually. So before I got an office job, I spent 7 years as a landscape gardener, and throughout summer we would spend a lot of time on the back end of a lawnmower, and a man after my own heart, Daniel Robinson. And I do love my garden time now, but Daniel took it to the next level. So he participated in the Newcastle or in the Newey Marathon over the weekend, finished a little bit behind Mads. He did, but finished he did. He did it in style, I might add too. He's very much a singlets off man. but one thing that he did have that he took the whole way with him was a lawnmower. So 42 Ks with, so this is where I was a little bit disappointed. He looks like he's gone with a Victor number. probably if he had gone with the Easy Start Honda, definitely would have been a lot easier. but he's taken the Victor for a journey. And whilst most people were double checking that, their laces were secure and ready to go, he was just making sure that the catcher was plugged in and ready to go for the whole 42 clicks. But Daniel has run, you know, what do you like? We look at our marathon times. So I suppose, you know, Steve doesn't look at his marathon time. He likes hearing about them. But, you know, you're thinking, you know, what's a decent run? Like Daniel's a pretty solid boy. Looking at this, he's spends a bit of time in the gym, very solid, possibly plays a bit of rugby. He's gotten around and knocked over this marathon pushing a lawnmower, a big heavy Victor lawnmower too, I might add, in four hours and 4 minutes. So he hasn't mucked around. Like this is pretty good going as well.
Like that.
But it was for a cause. So I do want to add, he didn't just do this for shits and giggles. And it's not the first time Daniel's gone out on a bit of a limb to try and raise a bit of money. So Daniel's very passionate about raising money to look after youth mental health and suicide. So he last year he spent 12 hours. And look, I'm flat out being awake for 12 hours. But Daniel spent 12 hours running up and down Mount Tomaree last year. And every time he got to the top, he'd knock out 40 push-ups.
Yeah, that's great. That's such a cheat.
Mate, running 5Ks and then doing 40 push-ups, I'd need more recovery from trying to do 40 push-ups than I would from the run. So, look, phenomenal effort to raise money for an outstanding cause. It's one I'm definitely passionate about as well. But pushing the lawnmower.
Yeah, good for headspace. That was very cool. I had a quote. He wanted to run a marathon while doing something that I haven't seen before. So it took me a while to think about it. One day I was out mowing the lawn and it came to me. I mean, yeah.
There's some pretty cool photos along the way. he's got he hasn't gone the half tights or the split shorts. He's gone the knee length sort of board shorts with the calf socks.
Not gaiters.
No, not gaiters. And, he's definitely no singlet. Singlet is just wasn't cutting it, but had on backwards. And there's a nice bit of a photo there as he's going along the docks. And there's a bloke just behind him going, oh, my God, this bloke's pushing a lawnmower.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you didn't, you obviously, a lot of people wouldn't know what was going on. They're in a race and then someone with a lawnmower goes by them. It'd be a bizarre feeling when you hit the wall and, a guy with a lawnmower goes past you.
Just in case anyone was wondering as well, the mower was not on. So the blades were not engaged. Just in case there was anyone wondering. But, I was worried about how the wheels would hold up on the Victor because it's, you know, it's just the cheap plastic wheels and it's pretty much sealed path, concrete, bitumen roads. I would have thought that they would have broken up, but they look to be in pretty good nick just based on the photos I'm having a look at. So kudos, I suppose, if you are out there and you're thinking about pushing a lawnmower, perhaps the Victor's not a bad choice.
What do you reckon the world record for pushing a lawnmower in 24 hours would be? Steve, Chris? Got any predictions in terms of distance?
Like in terms of distance,
yeah.
Look, I'm
like doing it for 24 hours is like.
I'm thinking. So, how far did Sarah run on the track? It was about 180k, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I'd hate to think that this wouldn't have been on a track. This would have had to have been out on a road somewhere, hopefully, or a lawn.
Or a lawn, yeah.
A lawn is probably a good place. But, I think, 24 hours with a lawnmower. Anything, if it was over 100K, I'd be staggered, but that'd be super impressive.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking over 100K would be pretty good going.
Yeah, back in November 2022 in Wyndham Vale, Victoria, 124K. Bradley Brown's covered. Raising money for Movember. So very good way play on words there. But 124K, that's impressive as well.
Mate, that's a Movember to remember. to be... slugging it out for 124K. Like, I'd love to try and find a little bit more detail on this, but
whether to take it down.
Well, no, I'm not going that far, but I wonder if, like, did he, was he out on an oval and he just like ran laps and mowed like a footy ground or a cricket ground just in circles? Because that'd add up pretty quick, but No, 124K. I mean, 124K just in general. Let's be honest. If that was with no mower, and I don't care where it was run, that's impressive. But a lawnmower's not light either. Like, it's yes, it's got wheels. I get that, but still, I mean, look at people that push in a pram. That's hard work.
We're constantly amazed by some of these world records that come across our desk, Chriso.
We have. I think I'll be interested to see if we get any takers. I think one of the things we normally look forward to when we have world record chat is there's normally a little bit of feedback in either an Insta story or a comment or even an email or text message that comes through to some of us going, you know what, I wouldn't mind having a crack at that, or such and such, I reckon he's keen. It'd be really cool to see him have a go. So... we see if there's anyone that's keen to pull on the lawnmower challenge and give that a crack, because who knows, Brad's at 124.32 kilometers from 2022 could be in jeopardy.
I reckon so, mate. This
could be Zeka.
I'm definitely not interested in this one. Okay, yeah, it's a safe record, I think. It's been a big show, mate. And talk about feedback, I'm sure off the back of when Steve puts up the macaroni mac and cheese photo on Strava, there'll be a bit of feedback going.
Mate, this week's run to PB recipe is a week. There's got no doubt that the mac and cheese, and I'm actually going to set an alert for when Steve posts. You can do that in Strava. So your favourite mates, you can set an alert for when a new activity comes up. So I'll be adding Steve to my favourites list just in the anticipation of seeing a bit of mac and cheese filter through on the app, on the old Orange app at some stage over the next few days.
So this is a bit of pressure because I had mac and cheese for dinner earlier this week. So we're probably thinking, looking more like early next week.
I don't mind if you post an old photo of mac and cheese. I think it'd be great if we can spoil the listeners with something ahead of the weekend, but that's okay. I don't want to put too much pressure on you, mate, but put it this way, we haven't eaten mac and cheese in our house for some time, and there's a fair chance it's going to happen on Saturday night after after the chat. I'm intrigued. Especially the things that you're adding to it, because for me, mate, all I was thinking was like, hey, you just get some of those Kraft singles out, melt them down with a bit of milk, and then maybe a bit of parmesan, something like that, just smash that around some pasta, and then bang, you're done. But there's obviously a bit more to it than that, and things that
don't go, mate.
Standards have lifted since I was on my apprentice wages, so that was probably the last time I've genuinely eaten mac and cheese. Things have escalated a little bit in our house, but I want to know what good upmarket professional people do with their mac and cheese, and those that have access to Strava, watch this space. So probably, what do you reckon, Zachy? Do you reckon we can get a share of it in our stories once it goes to?
Yeah, probably. Sure. I mean, Liam broke our Instagram last week off the back of his Muesli chat, and then we had that. We had a random someone was trying to plug. I think it was a bot, but it was someone was Liam involved in like a protein powder partnership. Did you see that message that came through?
I did see that. I think with Liam's involvement last week, the podcast went to unprecedented heights in terms of interest from the general public. So
we were getting messages about that, about Liam's involvement. Thought it was some great feedback.
Some of the best content we've had for quite some time. So Liam's got an open invitation to come kind of anytime he likes. But I think definitely the Muesli chat was a big winner. So
Mac
and cheese chat this week. Keep your eyes posted. Stephen Langdon on Strava for all those that are keen and may not follow the great man. So give him an ad and just keep your eyes peeled because this may just revolutionise your weekend.
Could be an influencer after this weekend.
Exciting times.
We probably want to hear how the battle of the different paths, like, is it going to be shells? Is it going to be spirals? Who knows? Obviously there's a bit of a dispute there to resolve. But, looking forward to it. Mate, it's probably the first question I'm going to ask you after how you're going on Saturday. have we resolved the dispute that's going on in the household around what pasta we're using? So, I'm very excited for future uploads.
Cool, mate. Well, we'll get to catch up. We'll get to catch up at Gels. Chat, mac and cheese and run. So looking forward to it. Thanks for jumping on, Steve. It's been a great episode to have you talk about race week and obviously hear about your training update. So thanks for sharing that.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, Chris and Zach, for having me.
Thanks, mate.
See you on the weekend, guys.
See ya.
See ya.